Today on Real Radio.
He's telling the Pharisees, as crazy and sideways as they were, Jesus was saying, get that stuff to the top and get it out. It's a great statement of mercy. Jesus is saying, don't stay that way. Get your hypocrisy to the top and throw it out, and you're going to be fine. Let's see what they do with that.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Chapter 11 conveys a number of statements made by Jesus that we might describe today as in your face. Quite obviously, the Messiah was not making many more friends at this point in his ministry. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs to take us through verses 37 through 54 in a presentation called Diagnosis Hypocrisy.
Some churches don't even read the Bible. They call themselves churches. When the Bible says, read the Bible. Can I read the Bible? No, we'll read the Bible. We'll tell you what it says. Yeah, but the Bible says to read the Bible. How do you know? We'll tell you what it means. You guys, that's dangerous. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, there the Bible says, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths, they honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Hypocrisy cannot stop staring at tradition. Secondly, the burning of the eyes could be caused by hypocrisy, because it cannot see reality. Hypocrisy is a funny thing. It'll blind you to reality. Verse 39, then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. I'm sorry, you guys, this is awesome. The guy invites Jesus over for dinner and he's going to set Jesus up. Jesus knows this. Jesus knows that the guy is already dumbfounded about Jesus not keeping the Mishnah. Jesus doesn't care about the Mishnah. Who's getting set up here anyway? Jesus is there, and he says, I want to say something. You Pharisees, you guys do a great job of washing everything on the outside. But on the inside, you guys are full of greed and wickedness. Greed? Greed is the word to obtain things to themselves. Wickedness is the Greek word by plotting and scheming. Translation. The inside of you is filthy, no matter how beautiful you look on the outside. How? Why is that true? Because inside you are constantly plotting and scheming how you can come out on top every time. Jesus tells it right to these guys. And you have got to see these guys. They are so dressed up with their religious stuff. They got rings. They've got these rings everywhere. They're like, yes, Jesus, we'd like to ask you a question. Yes. He's there. He's in his robe. You've got God in his robe. You've got man looking like God. And Jesus says, what are you doing? Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'd love to have been there to see this. But you don't have to go too far because it's very prevalent in our world today. Reality gets skewed when hypocrisy burns the eyes. I'm a servant of God. Well, then serve somebody, will you? What? Where's my parking space? Listen, I was reading a friend of mine. He wrote a book. I had a chance to speak with this guy at a men's retreat. Great, great, great guy. He went with a friend of his. He was asked to speak at the Hollywood Bowl for Easter sunrise service. And the committee for the Hollywood Bowl asked him, we need to know where your address is. We need to GPS. We need to find out where there's a place close enough where we can pick you up by helicopter. He said, helicopter. I know where the Hollywood Bowl is. I live in Pasadena. I can make it. And they said, well, the preacher last year had to have a helicopter. He said, that's not necessary. They said, well, okay. Then where do you want the limo to pick you up at? We need your address. He said, I have a 99 Volvo. It works fine. And they said, we can't have you come in a Volvo. You can't come to the Hollywood Bowl to be the key speaker on a Sunday service in a Volvo. And he said, why not? He said, well, because the person the year before that had to have a limo. Doctor, reverend, pastor, minister, servant, I need a helicopter? Watch out. Hypocrisy causes your eyes to burn and skew reality. Then the Lord said to him, now you, Pharisee, make no mistake about it, church. Jesus is busting this guy and Pharisees in totality. It's plural there. Can you imagine the silence that must have been in that room? How did this happen? Why did this happen? I don't know anything about them, but I know something about me and I know something about us. As believers, we need to be very careful, church. Always very careful. Here's the reason why. We can be so in love with God, but get so sideways with things that we can walk away from the love of God and the life of God. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus said, nevertheless, I have this against you because you've left your first love. Hot love. The word is hot, preeminent, always before your face love. You've left your first love, Jesus said. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent and do your first works. I love that. Isn't this great? If you forget everything else, remember this. Jesus said, hey, Christians, stay close to me. Keep dating me. Keep flirting with me. Keep hanging out with me. Keep sending me notes. Keep waking up in the morning saying, love you, Jesus. What are we going to do today? Watch a cloud go by, or by the mercies of God, hallelujah, rain clouds came by Southern California this weekend, and it rained. What did you do?
My car's all dirty now.
Or did you say, thank you, God, we're in a drought. Thanks for the rain. Do your first works. Hey, remember when you met him or met her? First love. Hi, hello, where are you going? I don't know why. That's, whatever, I'm going wherever you're going. What? You love their voice, you love their smell, they can even sweat, and it's fantastic. So cute, anything. Oh, my hair's messed up, I'm sorry. It's awesome. Think about it. Jesus says, be like that with me. Be like that with me. And if you're not like that with me, get back. Why? Because the danger is hypocrisy can creep in. We can get complacent with him. We get a skewed reality. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Conceit means eyes on yourself, eyes focused on you. In lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others more highly than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your interests, but the interests of others also. Don't let conceit, which breeds hypocrisy, come into your life. Because it's not that hot love for one another. The conceit is this. Look at me. Hey, look at me. How do you like it? Look at me. What are you going to watch me do? Enough talk about you. Let's talk about me. Conceit. Hypocrisy burns the eyes. It leads to a skewed reality when someone's a hypocrite. Putting on that face to be somebody else. Hypocrisy cannot stop staring at tradition. Hypocrisy cannot see reality. And thirdly, hypocrisy cannot respond to honesty. Hypocrisy and honesty are on the opposite ends of the page. Jesus says, foolish ones, did not he, that is God, who made the outside make the inside also? You guys clean the cup on the outside. You wear cool robes, but what about your inside? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. This is a very difficult verse to understand in the English. It's rather pathetic. The word actually means this. Look at your Bible. I need you to look at your Bible. This is what it means in the Greek. Foolish ones, did not he, that is the Lord, make the outside and the inside the same. He knows everything. Verse 41. But rather do this. And this is a precious statement by Jesus. But rather give alms. Give the poison that resides inside of you away. Get it out. Bring it out. Just let it go. Stop being a hypocrite and let it come to the surface. Let it out. Stop wearing a mask. Bring it out. Then indeed all things are clean to you. Do you see that now? Get it out. He's telling the Pharisees, as crazy and sideways as they were, Jesus was saying, get that stuff to the top and get it out. It's a great statement of mercy. Jesus is saying, don't stay that way. Get your hypocrisy to the top and throw it out, and you're going to be fine. Well, let's see what they do with that. Jesus gives them a true, beautiful, loving invitation, but will hypocrisy respond to honesty? Listen, church, before we leave this point here, understand this. Hypocrisy is absolutely terrified of honesty. Hypocrisy doesn't want to hear honesty. Can't handle it. Honesty says this. Jesus says in honesty, will you just let that stuff out of you? Come on, I know it's in there. Let it out and get clean of it. What does hypocrisy do when it sees that? It gets all threatened and insecure, and it takes a bigger stand. No, it's not. No, I'm fine. You think you're justifying and making yourself okay, and you look like a lunatic to people. It's a cover-up. Honesty says, come on. Hypocrisy says, I'm not going to get down where you live. It's very sad. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. That's what we're to do. Honesty says that. Come on, church, let's be honest. Have we all attained? What do you think about you? Are you honest about you? Or are you a hypocrite about you? What do you mean? I'm pretty good. Well, what, to just end this service right now? We'll go walk out to the fountain and watch you walk across the water fountain out there. Come on, let's go. Take your shoes off. Let's walk. Come on, brother. Walk across that water. You're so impressed with yourself? Let's see you walk on water. See, hypocrisy thinks it can walk on water. After all, don't they know who I am? After all, I'm a water walker. Apparently, he doesn't realize who he's talking to. Who am I talking to? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus saved us. He even died for us. And the scripture says, who would die for any man? Who would even die for a good man? But Jesus, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you imagine? The worst thing that you and I have ever done, Jesus knew and went to the cross to forgive us anyway. You can't forgive yourself, but he longs and desires for you to come and ask him for forgiveness because he has forgiven you at the cross. You've got to come to him. My goodness, it's wonderful. Hypocrisy cannot stop staring at tradition. It cannot see reality, and it cannot respond to honesty. Point number two this morning, verses 42 to 44, diagnosis hypocrisy if there's a hardening of the heart. You could have hypocrisy going on in your life if there's a hardening of your heart. How so? This way, hardening of the heart can cause self-justification. Self-justification. What does that look like? Jesus says, verse 42, but woe to you, Pharisees! How grieved I am! How sick and sorry I am, Pharisees! How tragic to you, Pharisees! Listen, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and you pass, the word is Passover, you neglect, you drive right around justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done while not leaving out the others. What is he saying? Number one, love the Lord. Number two, act in justice. Then go ahead and do your tithing. Now, church, get a load of this. You got to give these guys some credit. One thing that Pharisees did, they tithed big. Every church would love to have some Pharisee tithers. Why? Because they tithe everything. This is what Jesus is knocking. He's not knocking their giving. Listen to this. They tithe everything. You see this? See all these microphones up here? A Pharisee would say, we're going to donate a tenth of these to the homeless music band, something or other. And how many shoes do we have in the sanctuary? Take one off each foot. We're going to donate those to the... they tithe everything. And you say, well, that's nice. It is nice, but their heart was wrong. Here's what they did. Man, they tithe a portion of their money. Yes, that's true. They did. They tithe this. They tithe that. Okay. Oh, look, I have 5 branches on my little mint plant. I'm going to take 10% of that. I'm going to tithe it to the Lord. And you say, well, that is sweet. It's great if your heart's right. What they did was they wound up not only keeping records so that they might impress one another, they told one another, hello, yes, I gave 10% of, and they would announce it. Remember in another place, Jesus says, don't let your good works, your alms, be done in front of people. You guys, a friend of mine visited a church in Orange County. I'm not going to name it. I am not going to name it. You'll know it when I say it. When they passed the plate there, people literally stand up and say, praise the Lord, I'm giving $1,000. Oh yeah, it's not very far from here. Another person stands up and says, I'm giving $10,000. Oh yeah! I'm sure while the guy who sits backstage, whoo-hoo, that is so evil. That is so carnal. Jesus said, you better enjoy it because you've already had your reward. Oh, what was it? The men going, ooh, man, he gave $1,000. A little golfer's clap is all you're going to get. Hey, if you're boasting about it, you're a hypocrite. After all, don't you realize? It doesn't matter what I realize. What does God know? Hardening of the heart's weird because it begins to justify itself. Self-justification sounds like this. When the officer pulls somebody over, hey, were you guys just, they were, I wasn't. It's always someone else. That's their fault, but I assure you, I was on your side. Self-justification. Always seeing yourself above the law, above the rule, above the requirement. Self-justification in the most gross sense is not in the negative, but is an attempt to make it a positive. I tithe 10% of all that I have. And you know, that is an Old Testament rule or statement. True. 10%. If you want to say, well, yeah, I'd like to tithe 10%. Honestly, the Old Testament tithing was way more than 10%. 10% only went to the temple. It was about 23%. You say, oh my goodness. Well, all right, let's not talk about that then. Oh, I'd rather read the New Testament personally. Really? You want to read the New Testament personally? Do you know how much you're supposed to tithe in the New Testament? 100%. You're supposed to give God everything and then live off what you need. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Amazing. Wow. Hardening of the heart will tend to justify itself. He says, woe to you, Pharisees. You left the most important thing undone. That is your love for God and justice. Oh, boy, isn't that a great thing? Justice, it's missing in our world today, justice. Do you know if justice was being done godly, if justice was being given biblically, there'd be no yelling and screaming about black and white, red or yellow, injustice this and all about that. Justice. It's supposed to be immovable. The standards of justice, the scales. Remember, she's got a blindfold around her face. She can't see who's rich or poor, black or white. Justice. When a church is wayward from God, there's no justice in that church. When a Christian is wayward from God, there's no justice. I want to hang out with the cool people, the cute people, the rich people, the clean people. That's injustice. Have you noticed? Try to nail Jesus down. You can find Jesus with rich people, and you can find him with women caught in the act of sex, drugged and thrown to his feet. Pharisees and unbelievers. He's everywhere. Isn't that wonderful? That ought to give every one of us hope. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, the Bible says, Paul said, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. He's talking about giving. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly. The word is grumpy or disgruntled. Here comes the plate. I knew it! Put something in it.
What?
Just put something in there. It won't look like a cheapo. Put it in. A whole dollar? And then it goes by. And then that's the whole, that's why we never take an offering at Easter. Because the world comes. I know most of the people come, they come once a year. Maybe twice, once at Christmas.
Oh, I'm going to go there. That's going to go to that church. I'm going to ask for money. I just know it's money.
We don't take an offering on Easter Sunday morning. Why? So we don't want to give you the satisfaction of being, having the opportunity to be grumpy toward God. A cheerful giver, he says. But God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good thing. You know what that means? God will take care of you. Give back to God what's his. He'll take care of you. Well, wait a minute. Really? Yeah. You know Mr. Colgate? Colgate? Toothbrush man? You ever read about his life? That guy was wild, man. Colgate was poor. He had an idea. Toothpaste. I'm going to make some toothpaste. And he says, God, if this works, I'll give you 90% of everything I make. If you say that to God, God will see to it it works. Colgate, how are you going to live, Colgate? That's God's problem. I'm poor. I'm eating, you know, stuff out of the trash now. I'm so poor, I can't get any more poor. But I got an idea, and I'm going to give 90% of whatever I make off this idea to God. No wonder why God made him a billionaire. He gave the billion back to God, and you know, he had to live off a couple $100 million. Poor guy. Look at some of these people. It's absolutely impressive. Throughout history, it's awesome. You give more to God. This is the only thing in all of the Bible God says, you give to me, and I will give it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing out of your heart, out of your bosom will flow abundance. Because God will never, ever, 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 never be indebted to you. I gave God $10. First of all, you should go get it back because it doesn't count. Okay? Don't be grumpy. Cheerful.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called Diagnosis Hypocrisy. It's a look at Luke chapter 11 and verses 37 through 54, part of our chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Luke, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, in recent weeks, we've been offering Pastor Jack's CD series, When a Christian Prays. We also aired the series recently here on Real Radio, and due to the response, we're extending our offer. For your contribution of any amount to the continuing outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's CD series, When a Christian Prays. Now, whether you call, click, or write, just ask for it by name, When a Christian Prays. More than one way to get in touch? Beginning with our website, pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.